Hello, Low Country. This is longtime ESPN commentator Dr. Jerry Punch, inviting you to listen to the Scott Hamilton Show every day right here on 98.9 ESPN Charleston. Because as everyone knows, Scott is a legend in his own mind.
He's joining us now in the Saitama Hotline, 1996 Heisman Trophy winner, Danny Werfel. Welcome to the Scott Hamilton Show.
Scott, great to be with you.
Buddy, happy to have you on. And you weren't on yet, but we played the clip from Kentucky in 93, and I've got to ask you. You threw it to our buddy Chris Dorn, friend of the show and a former walk-on at Florida. What was your biggest takeaway from that play?
Man, I mean, that literally put Chris and me on the map. In fact, I just watched the Twitter clip from, the SEC, where they were kind of highlighting the voice of the different teams, and it was a kind of Mick Hubert's coming out party that when he is announcing, you know, as you probably heard, Dory's got a touchdown. And as they're doing that, it stops in the middle of it, and both Mick and Chris tear up. And it's like, man, just such an amazing moment looking back, and just a defining moment for sure.
You know, Danny, I'm a Heisman Trophy voter, and it's something I take very seriously, but you're an actual winner. And I have to ask you this, the experience of winning that award, what I consider to be the most iconic individual award in sports, that had to be overwhelming for the son of an Air Force chaplain. Is that even something that crossed your mind when you first committed to Florida?
You know, it's interesting. On a funny level, somebody sent me a clip of me throwing a football when I was young, and the guy says, that's kind of filming, says, man, he's going to win the Heisman. So somebody may have thought of it, but it really wasn't so much on my mind. You know, my goal was to get a college scholarship, and when I was in ninth grade, I thought it might be in basketball, but ended up being better in football and got a chance to go play. And, you know, when I'm young there, I was just, you know, hoping to get on the field, and it just sort of, you know, I guess you probably dream about that at some level, but in terms of it being a reality, it really wasn't until my junior year when things broke out and I got third that all of a sudden it was like, man, this is possible.
Danny, what kind of pressure comes with winning the Heisman Trophy? Is there a downside to winning the best award in sports?
Well, there's probably always a up and downside to everything if you think hard enough. I mean, I think there's maybe some pressure moving on to the next level, but that really didn't hit me that much. I mean, a lot of people love to talk about Heisman Trophy winners. Actually, at the time, they said you couldn't win the bowl game and the national title, so fortunately that didn't happen. But then, you know, they love to talk about Heisman guys that didn't do as well in the NFL, and so that's a list I'm high on, I think. But I didn't feel that so much. I think for me more, it's just created an incredible platform, an opportunity to kind of be heard, to be known. And for me, that's been a great asset as I try to tell the story of Desire Street and the work we're doing in under-resourced neighborhoods and just the good I'm trying to do in the world, bringing, you know, unity and inspiring people to service. So it's been an incredible blessing on that front.
You know, I'm not alone when I always assumed that you and Steve Spurrier had a special relationship at Florida, you know, and you won a national title with him. You ran his offense so perfectly. But did that go to another level when you won the Heisman? Did you almost feel like maybe you went from being his protege to almost being his equal in kind of a way?
I don't know, terminology-wise. I mean, we you know, typically a lot of times you play for a coach. It's tough when you're actually playing, and then when you get done, when they're not coaching you, you can kind of move to another relationship. It's almost like your parents when they're your parents in the house, you know, you kind of got to relate to them one way, but then when you grow up and move out, you kind of move towards more of a friendship, which I think is true. I think there is a bond that we both won the Heisman. We go back every year. That's a unique thing. I think there's also, you know, the fact that it was the first national title and we did that together, I think really fits well. And then, you know, now in particular that he's not so busy, you know, when he was coaching all the time, he was really busy, but now he's at Florida more often. I get to see him, and we actually played our first round of golf together that wasn't like at a fundraising event or something this past year. So it's been really great to get to spend more time with him the last few years.
How did you deal with his temperament, though, at such a young age? Danny, you always seem so composed, and he would be over there slinging visors and doing this and that, and you always seem cool. How did you get through that?
I think it's part of my personality and the way that I'm wired. And, you know, he's very intense, and I, you know, consciously just reminded myself that, you know, he wants to win, I want to win, and, you know, that, you know, to not take things personally, and he's getting fired up, and to just sort of be respectful, and it worked out well for me.
We're joined by Heisman Trophy winner Danny Werfel. You can follow him on Twitter at Danny Werfel. And Danny, I want to step away from the field for a moment and ask you a couple of other questions. I know you lost your home in New Orleans during Hurricane Katrina in 05. Can you kind of describe that experience and how you and your family recovered?
Yeah, I mean, that was a surreal, you know, even looking back now, sometimes it feels like it may have been a dream, but we lost our house and pretty much everything in it. We kind of got out of there with our son, our dog, and a car full of stuff and thought we'd be coming back in a few days. And, you know, it was tough, but honestly, you know, compared to many people in New Orleans, you know, we had a place to go, many people didn't. We had people send us, you know, I actually had people send me clothes right away that were nicer clothes than I had. And then we, you know, had the resources to sort of rebuild our lives a lot quicker than others. So we moved to Florida for a few years, and then we moved the headquarters of Desire Street to Atlanta. And it's amazing, Scott, you can go from having nothing, like literally a car full of stuff, and then a few years later you got a house full of stuff that, you know, closet full. And it's crazy how we accumulate so much stuff. But it was an incredible experience to realize that, you know, I'd lost everything we had, but I still had my wife and my son, and other people were missing family members. So it was sort of a reminder that what's the difference between something that you want to have or something you need to have. And, you know, at that moment, I had everything I needed, even though I lost everything I had in a sense.
And Danny, tell me about Desire Street. I've been researching it. I've been reading about it. You're doing some amazing work over there. What prompted you to start this, and what direction are you headed?
Well, like in good quarterback fashion, you often get way more credit than you deserve. I didn't start it. I started in New Orleans before I went there with the Saints, and I just started volunteering. And the vision, though, was to work not just in the one neighborhood called Desire Street. Literally, we were on Desire Street. You've heard of a streetcar named Desire. Well, there's a in the ninth ward of New Orleans, Desire Street moves, and there was a public housing project. And so we did a lot of work in the neighborhood there with youth and helped in a lot of ways. And then we wanted to impact other communities. Well, so the cool thing that I love about what we do, you know, I think of myself as a young football player. I had a lot of, you know, vision and excitement and some talent, but I ran into a phenomenal coach who helped shape me to be the player that I became. And what we are doing is we're finding that there are incredible leaders that live and serve in under-resourced neighborhoods that don't have the coaching, don't have the resources, don't have the support. So rather than starting new organizations, what Desire Street does is we find those existing leaders and we partner with them for 3 to 5 years and help them become highly effective, thriving in their work, and sustainable. We do a lot of, you know, education, after-school programming. We actually have helped started some schools, medical clinics, some housing programs, some churches, early childhood development centers, the types of things that can really impact a neighborhood.
And my last question, Danny, I mean, you are a football player. You think of yourself as an athlete. How does running the foundation really satisfy a competitive fire burning in you?
You know, it's a bit different because there's not like a quick scoreboard where you win or lose. I think the connection, though, is, you know, football, part of what I loved about football was it was a team sport, and you sort of won and lost together. And when your teammates did great, you could celebrate, and if you were knocked down, they could pick you up and vice versa. And so to me, Desire Street is trying to just extend who's our team, and, you know, the people living on the other side of town that don't have the same opportunities are part of my team, and how can we help them thrive as well? So that's really the excitement that we do, and to see lives changed, you know, individual lives that may not have had the same opportunities, and you see them, you know, having good jobs and great families and doing well and contributing to society. That's fun. And then as you see neighborhoods begin to sort of change to where it's not so much a dangerous place, but it's a place where people want to live and the kids can play and can thrive. That's really, really exciting.
Danny, before I let you go, when do we get to see you in the Heisman House commercials again?
As soon as they invite me back. I was there a few years ago. There's several now. It's just really, really fun to be a part of that and to participate in those events. The guys are hilarious, and they're real creative, obviously, the people that do them.
If it were a real place, who would be your roommate?
Ooh, good question. Well, if I wanted to have, like, super fun, I'd probably be Mike Rozier or George Rogers. But if I actually wanted to really live a productive life and get sleep and have, like, a super solid buddy, it'd probably be Charlie Ward. Ooh. That dude is awesome. I love that guy, even though he's a Seminole.
I was going to say, Danny, that's kind of against the grain there, buddy.
Well, you know, we're trying to create unity in the world, Scott. So just because he played for the other team and beat me, doesn't mean we can't move on beyond that. But I'm sure there's others. There's lots of good guys that I do enjoy. Pete Dawkins from years ago in the 60s is a fantastic leader. I'd follow him into battle. And just a lot of great guys.
Danny, we're going to have to get you back, man. I've got 100 other questions. I just want to talk about your Heisman House, a fantasy Heisman House. Well, you know, what you'd eat, who'd you hang out with. I'm fascinated.
I appreciate it. Also, just want to give a quick plug before we go.
Sure, man.
To Desire Street people, if you look up desirestreet.org, we've got a big event coming up with Florida Georgia people and doing a golf tournament and trying to get people to support that, whether they can come or not. So if people look up the Desire Cup, try to help us out. It'd mean a lot.
And Danny, real quick, I know that Coach Dooley was scheduled to be in that event. Have you had any contact with his people and his availability? Oh,
yeah, well, he's planning to be there. I heard he just injured himself. And so we thought, oh, well, man, that's a bummer. We'll miss him. But then his daughter, I think, said, no, he's still planning on coming. So he's a tough hombre. So we'll see. But he's been a very faithful supporter of the Desire Cup, big supporter of Desire Street. And, again, you know, he's a Bulldog. Not a huge Bulldog fan, but I'm a huge Vince Dooley fan.
I love it. He's a national champion quarterback, a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, and he won the 1996 Heisman Trophy. You can follow him on Twitter at Danny Werfel. Danny, buddy, been a pleasure. Thanks for visiting us today.
Thanks, Scott. Take care.
All right. It's Danny Werfel on the Saitama Hotline.